Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and it is a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This Sunday, we prepare for the second Sunday in Ordinary Time. And before we get into our readings, let's go through our checklist, my friends. Number one, do you have time for God? Check. Do you have a heart for God? Is your heart wide open to receive the Word of God? Check. Is your Bible open? Check. And are you free of distractions? Check. And once again, my friends, as we always do, we confirm that we are ready to go to engage in the Word of God. So let's go to our first reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 62, verses 1 through 5. And here it is. For Zion's sake, I will not be silent. For Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet, until her vindication shines forth like the dawn and her victory like a burning torch. Nations shall behold your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, pronounced by the mouth of the Lord. You shall be a glorious crown in the hand of the Lord, a royal diadem held by your God. No more shall your people call you forsaken, or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight, and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. And as a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Isaiah today, my friends, the word of God tells us, for Zion's sake, I will not be silent. And for Jerusalem's sake, I will not be quiet. What issues, my friends, are you willing to speak out about today? What issues are you concerned about that you must not be quiet any longer, must not be silent any longer? You and I, my friends, are called to speak out, to speak up and to take a position on our faith and on the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. Issues such as abortion, taking the life of the unborn child, traditional marriage and family life between one man and one woman. How about speaking out for our faith, my friends? We know that there's a atheistic element out there who is without question trying to undo faith within our world today. There is an entity out there who is opposed to the Word of God, to the faith in God, people who are offended by even giving a blessing before a meal or even mentioning the word God. And so a good example of this would be Judge Roy Moore, who was fired for standing up for the Ten Commandments as the Alabama Chief Justice many years ago. And I just tell you that in the word today from the book of Isaiah, we are called to be vocal, to take a position when it counts, and to not be silent any longer, to not be quiet, but to do whatever we have to do to stand up for the morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. And the word goes on to talk about this. No more shall your people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight and your land espoused. For the Lord delights in you and makes your land his spouse. Your God shall rejoice in you. And this is important, my friends, because when we are taking a position that displays a firmness of faith, a depth of knowledge, and standing up for God himself in areas that are uncomfortable areas that you and I know require some courage, and then the Holy Spirit allows us to do something very unique and to bear witness to God himself, God will delight in you and I. No more shall your people call you forsaken or your land desolate, but you shall be called my delight. For the Lord delights in you. Isn't that where we want to be, my friends? Isn't that where we are called to be? This is the time in our world today when all of us need to take that strong position with a loving touch to touch the heart and mind of other people. And this is an important moment for you and I, where we stand on the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. And there will be those who are opposed or offended by your witness. But once again, like the prophet Isaiah, who tells us, I will not be silent, I will not be quiet, for the sake of Jerusalem and for Zion's sake. You and I, my friends, are called to take a position on our faith today. Let's do it together. And as we build up the energy here within the show, let us remember that we are in the first month of a new year. Let us begin a new trend, a trend in which we are taking strong positions on our faith and not standing by and watching others do it, but we are doing it ourselves. Once again, with a loving touch, to touch the heart and mind of other people. In whatever arena you are called to be in, whether you're a teacher in a school, a mother or father in your own family, if you're in the courthouse as an attorney, if you're in corporate America working with other people, let us do whatever we can to take a position on our faith and on the issues that are important to our Lord Jesus Christ. For many years, I was a speaker under Pennsylvanians for Human Life. Spoke out about abortion, partial birth abortion, embryonic stem cell research versus adult stem cell research, the death penalty, euthanasia, very, very important family life issues. On top of that, traditional marriage and family life. Many years ago, when we were involved with Voices for the Unborn television show in the early 2000s, there was maybe two or three states that had legalized same-sex marriage. And today, it's the law of the land. It's allowed because people have allowed it to become the law. You and I, my friends, have to do better because God calls us to the truth and to live out the truth, to stand up for the truth, and to stand up for those morals, values, ethics, and biblical principles that our Father in heaven has put forth before us to live out. Let's go to our second reading now. From the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. And here it is. Brothers and sisters, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different forms of service, but the same Lord. There are different workings, but the same God who produces all of them in everyone. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for some benefit. To one is given through the Spirit the expression of wisdom. To another, the expression of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. And to another, mighty deeds. To another, prophesy. To another, discernment of spirits. To another, variety of tongues. And to another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit produces all of these gifts, distributing them individually to each person as he wishes. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Corinthians today, my friend, St. Paul gives us a great message about the gifts that the Holy Spirit has available for all of us. The gifts that the Spirit decides to give you and to give me. What gifts do you have that you are using today? Are you aware of them? What gifts are you using and which gifts are you not using? The Word of God talks about the gift of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophecy, discernment, tongues, interpretation of tongues. What gifts of the Spirit do you have, my friends? I want you to think about that. And remember, the Holy Spirit decides which gifts He wants to give us. And this is an important moment in which we identify some of the beautiful blessings God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Spirit are to be used, once again, to build up the kingdom of God, to help to build up family life, to build up our culture of life, and to oppose the culture of death. What wisdom have you gained as a result of the past? How do you know if you have the gift of wisdom? Let's talk about it. If you learn from your mistakes of the past, not to be repeated, then we have wisdom. If we continue to repeat those mistakes of the past, then we have no wisdom in that category. So when God gives us wisdom, we tend to create a new person in Christ. We move forward, leaving the past behind. The gift of knowledge, a very powerful gift, that when we are rooted in the Word of God, God gives us knowledge of God Himself. He gives us the ability to pass on that knowledge to our children and to others, to give great talks that touch the hearts and minds of other people, that can heal some wounds of the past. And it's powerful. But it's knowledge that God has given us. So the great gift of knowledge can be passed on. What knowledge are you and I passing on today, my friends, right now here at Holy Spirit Radio? What can we do to lift up our children in the positions that they are in today? What knowledge have you been given, and how are you doing in your own home in terms of passing on the knowledge that God has given you? Is it a struggle? Are your children listening? Parenting children is one of the toughest things in the world. Kids don't want to do what you tell them to do, but they will do what you do instead. And so we have to lead by example and be very careful. The gift of faith, which is very powerful, one of the gifts of the Spirit. And that is a life-changing event. And I know in my own journey, and faith is a journey. It's a lifetime journey that's always moving forward. The gift of the Holy Spirit that is so important, that really began everything for me, is the gift of faith. And to really receive that great gift, you have to kind of get out of the way and allow the Spirit to work in your life. You have to kind of leave those old habits behind and free ourselves up from those long work weeks and allow the Holy Spirit to work within us, opening up new circles of people who can touch us in different ways, lead us in the way the Spirit wants us to go. One of the great gifts of faith of the Holy Spirit that leads to mighty deeds. And, you know, Mother Teresa was a great example of a person who did mighty deeds here on earth. And when you have a tremendous faith in Christ, a heart to do more, mighty deeds are just around the corner, so that we can be satisfied, we can be content. And we're not content until those deeds are done for other people. Whatever you do for the least of my brothers, God says, you have done it for me. So, mighty deeds are just a product of a strong faith in Christ, allowing ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit to do whatever we can for other people. When I was hungry, you brought me food. When I was thirsty, you brought me drink. When I was sick in the hospital, you came to visit me. When I was in prison, you came to my cell. When I was cold, you gave me your coat. There are so many ways to serve, so many great, mighty deeds that we can do. And so God gives people extraordinary gifts, and one of them is the opportunity to do great works for other people. And beyond that, we have the gift of prophesy. And like the prophet Isaiah, who can see up ahead, he has the gift of prophesy. And like other great prophets who walked the earth, God worked through them, giving them the ability to see what was in the future and to give them that responsibility to touch the hearts and minds of other people, to lead them. Again, what gifts do you have, my friends, that God has given you that you're using, and what gifts are not being used? Because it's so important that we utilize the gifts of the Spirit and take advantage of our youth and younger days as adults, so that we're not losing opportunities to serve God with these beautiful gifts of wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, mighty deeds, prophesy, discernment, the gift of tongues, also very important in the eyes of God, that he gives us these through the Holy Spirit who lives within each of us. Let's now go to our gospel reading. From the Gospel of John, chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. And here it is. There was a wedding feast at Cana in Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the wedding. When the wine ran short, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, how does your concern affect me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servers, "Do whatever he tells you." Now there were 6 stone water jars there for Jewish ceremonial washings, each holding 20 to 30 gallons. Jesus told them, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Draw some out now and take it to the head waiter." So they took it. And when the head waiter tasted the water that had become wine, without knowing where it came from, although the servers who had drawn the water knew, the head waiter called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves good wine first, and then when people have drunk freely, an inferior one. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this at the beginning of his signs at Cana in Galilee, and so revealed his glory, and his disciples began to believe in him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a powerful miracle at the wedding feast at Cana. The Lord's first miracle displayed before the apostles, before our Blessed Mother Mary. And the wedding feast at Cana is important also because the mother of Jesus was there. And Mary, who was with her son in his life and in his death and throughout his life, Mary saw many things. And she told the servers, "Do whatever he tells you to do." And again, you know, Mary's trust in Jesus was exemplary. You can see when a person says to another person, "Do whatever he tells you to do," he has complete trust in that person. And that's what Mary displays here in the wedding feast at Cana when there is no more wine. And of course, the Lord creates that first miracle in turning water into wine in the 6 stone jars. But this is important because many years ago, we had our first pilgrimage up to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy. And the Saint Faustina, who really was utilized as a tool to bring the great message of Jesus, I trust in you, to the world, she gives us this great message. And like Mary, who trusted Jesus, when she tells the server, "Do whatever he tells you to do," Saint Faustina gives us that message that we need to trust in Jesus. And in the Word of God, it talks about trusting in the Lord with all your heart and leaning not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and then he will direct your path. And that's the challenge, my friends, for all of us, is to trust in the Lord when our minds are giving us factual information and we want to take control of a situation. We need to take a step back for a moment and trust in God. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ with all our hearts. And lean not on our own understanding, on our mind. And God gives us that phraseology, that verbiage in the Word of God. He calls us to be a heart-focused individual, a human being who is relying totally on God himself. He really wants us to close our eyes and to make no decision but to trust in God, in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, with all our hearts, and lean not on our own decision. Make no decision. Although we think we're in control, God knows better. And this is where we have to take a step back and submit and to realize that we're number two, God is number one and in control. And our Blessed Mother Mary shows great humility before God as the mother of Jesus when she tells the servants to do whatever my son tells you to do. Don't do what I'm telling you to do. Do what he tells you to do, because she knows that he is a special person. And that blessing that she had as the angel Gabriel came to her and told her that she would bear a son and his name would be Jesus. And he would be great. And he would be the vehicle by which, my friends, we can have eternal life. And this is Jesus Christ we're talking about. And the Lord is there for us. But we have to trust in him. And there could be no other way about it to really get to eternity, to eternal life with our Father in heaven. We must have complete trust and faith in Christ, belief in Christ, and we must be obedient to the Father in the way he tells us to go. It cannot be any other way. The Word of God confirms this, and it's important. But this weekend, we celebrate, once again, the wedding feast at Cana, the Lord's first miracles. The first of many miracles, a faith increaser. And the Lord has given us many, many examples of this. And he did it so that the apostles would really believe in him and have depth of knowledge to draw from and to continue to grow in their own faith as they walk with Christ and even doubted, you know, because they're human beings. But we have to continue to grow in faith and to journey with God as we continue throughout our lives in this faith journey. My friends, that's our show for today. And I want to wish you a great weekend and a wonderful week. And we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God. I'm clear for takeoff, excuse me. But later on today, you'll be listening to Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host. Have a great day, and God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. God bless.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.